It doesn't sound much like a gospel song the way we do it, but that's exactly what it is.
The U2 you won't hear on the radio.
So we traveled down to Harlem, visited this church, or this choir. We're going through a rehearsal.
The U2 you won't see on television.
We went to Sun Studios in Memphis. We got Cowboy Jack Clemens down, who, you know, recorded Jerry Lee Lewis' whole Shaking On, the whole thing.
The U2 you can't experience anywhere else. Paramount Pictures presents U2 Rattle and Hum. Rated PG-13. Some material may not be suitable for children under 13. Opens Friday, November 4th at theaters everywhere. See the movie that goes with the music.
You're listening to U2 live from Dublin, brought to you by Paramount Pictures and Carol QFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.
This is Timothy White, live from Dublin, with all four members of U2 and Dave Fanning from RT Radio in Dublin.
The voice of America.
And, Dave, something I wanted to ask. You played U2's earliest demos, and you're a DJ on pirate radio, and what do they sound like?
Not very good.
Justify being a DJ and playing demos.
What's wrong with playing demos?
But you're a DJ. You're not allowed to do that.
If I sort of give a hand cue, it's somebody else that plays the demos. No, seriously, though.
You had no choice.
No, I do remember back in the days of doing the Pirates that I had a sort of an open door and people could just walk in. Bands used to come in and realize that I played their demos without having to have a single out, even independently, let alone with a big record label. And I remember one night when it was Bono and Edge called up to the Pirate station, and they knocked on the door and said, "Dave, listen, we've got some." I said, "Listen, sorry, you were here last week. Get out."
Trying to hog the airwaves.
Yeah.
What were some of the demos? Right.
Do you really want to know what some of the demos are like, Timothy? Okay, I've got to be honest. I thought their first demos were not very good, really, at all. You know, I didn't really think they were that good. I thought they were good enough.
Just we didn't pay enough money.
No, when I saw them live and when I realized what they were on about, I thought it was great. But the actual demos, I didn't think were great, really, at all.
Yeah. I think you made the comment, if I remember rightly, it was speed is not necessarily a good thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I was talking about the way the records went fast. Is that what you mean?
Yes, not the records.
Yeah. It was the late night shows you were doing at the time.
That's quite right, yeah. Things were different after midnight.
The earliest version I heard of Out of Control I thought was pretty good, though.
It sounds like a girl, even younger girl than usual, singing.
Do you remember the nights that you and Edge, and in fact Adam was in once, I think Larry was as well, when you came in five nights in 1 week to give three songs to the listeners of the Dave Fanning program?
That's right, yeah.
And you had to decide which would be the A side, and they all decided on Out of Control, and you were only going to put one song on the B side, but you put both Stories of Boys and Boy Girl as well on the B side.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
So you let the public...
Thanks, Adam.
so you let the public pick the single then?
Well, we told them that we were going to let them pick the single, but in fact, irrespective of what the votes said, it was going to be Out of Control on the
outside. Yeah, Boy Girl actually won. I might as well just repeat.
Yeah, you
that
can tell the world now. Come clean.
So much for the public's feedback.
At the end of the day, Dave's vibe was, as long as it's Out of Control, it's the A side.
I don't care what colour it is.
Henry Ford invented that wave.
It was very exciting
decisions.
Pirate radio in Dublin, and it was a great way of getting your stuff on the radio. There was another disc jockey here in Ireland called Larry Gogan. He used to play our demo tapes, and we were always, we were blown away by that. And it's really important for garage bands like we were then to get onto the airwaves. At least it felt incredible. In fact, it was the only important thing at that time. It was life or death to us. And it was only a clout in the back of the head to Dave Fanning. But in the end, he played our records, and we're glad he did.
Well, I have to say that one of the things I've always liked about U2's music was passion and riskiness. You know, it's always seemed to me that if it's not risky, it's not rock. And I like the idea in, say, God Part 2 on Rattle and Hum, that you felt comfortable adding a new musical chapter to John Lennon's song, God, by just putting your own, straight-from-the-hip thoughts into it.
Again, it seems sort of irreverent in a way to, and I'm not in any way trying to put us on the same level as John Lennon. We're very different. I don't look up to John Lennon. I don't look down at him. I don't even look sideways at him.
And he was from Liverpool.
He was from Liverpool. He was nearly Irish. Paul is cool too, as far as we're concerned, as were the rest of the band. But I just objected to Albert Golddigger picking a fight on a dead man. And luckily enough, he still lives on in his music, and his music has inspired us. And so we just became just a voice. It was just also an interesting way to exercise some of our own, you know, contradictions. You know, Albert Goldman thought it was he was pointing out a great contradiction in that he was trying to tell the world that, you know, John Lennon was very confused, crippled inside, and therefore, you know, less of a man for it, when the great thing about John Lennon was that he knew that he was, wrote songs about it, and we certainly didn't need a book to take us further down that road. That's what was great about John Lennon, is that he already told us how, you know, how he felt and how frustrated it was he felt being in a band like the Beatles. And it's a very different time. There isn't a parallel with U2, but our attitude to the music, I would say, is very similar. It's everything to us. It's all we have. And it's the same helter-skelter. It may even be the same God part.
Well, let's let rock and roll speak for itself. God Part 2 from Rattle and Hum. God Part 2 from U2's Rattle and Hum. I'm Timothy White. We're here in Dublin with all four members of U2. Larry, you had a final comment about God Part 2.
Yeah, I think God Part 2 is quite similar to a lot of the earlier stuff we did in some of the early albums. There's a lot of improvisation, so just happened to get, you know, just sort of fell together. There's a lot of swing involved. Is that right? Did I say it right?
Yeah. No, it's real visceral. It's real visceral. You know, it's got a good energy to it.
It's like the musicians just working together in the most natural way. You know, we weren't even really sure that this would be a take. We were still writing the song. We just captured a moment.
Anytime you can preserve that and get it out there, it's the best. It really is the essence of rock and roll itself. And stay with us for more of U2 live in Dublin. We'll be back in a moment.
Luke, we were on the road, and we wanted to record some of the new songs that we were writing. And we talked to Jimmy Iovine and said, Jimmy, can you get a studio for somewhere around Memphis? And he came back to us a couple of days later and said, well, would you believe it, Sun Studios is actually opened again?
Yeah, it's like Sun, I think, has been closed for like the last 10 years or something. I don't know how Jimmy did it, but, you know, he just got us in there.
He's American.
he must have known someone, you know.
I don't know which accent to put on, whether to put on the Irish accent or the American accent.
When in Rome, do as Romans.
Go with the flow, Larry.
Speak Italian.
Walk
a Roman or Rome.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Roman.
Walk like an Egyptian and you'll be grand. No, it's Sun just had that vibe. You know, it was a small place. It wasn't that high-tech thing that recording has become, where people, they make records rather than make music. Sun was a place that it had its kind of history, and it was a room where you felt comfortable, and you had to listen to what you were doing. You had to listen to the drums, you had to listen to the vocals and the guitar and everything. You couldn't, like, overdub later, because it wasn't that kind of way.
We had a guy called Cowboy Jack Clemens, who's a real hero of ours, who sort of took us through the studio and this new way of recording, this revolutionary new way of recording that we discovered, where you actually all get in the same room and you sing and play at the same time.
What if that ever caught on? God.
Isn't that incredible?
Cowboy Jack Clemens is playing in Dublin at the end of November.
Yeah. Yo, we'll be there.
At the point, yeah, the session.
He has an amazing balancing bottle act, let me tell you.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the great tracks that was recorded down at Sun is When Low Comes to Town with B.B. King. And it's funny, I mean, all these kinds of bits of serendipity. B.B. King's career started with Sam Phillips of Sun Records. His first four sides, he recorded with Sam. Also, I know you met B.B. in Dublin, not down there, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, he came to Dublin and he played a place called the National Stadium here, and I was blown away by the way he sang. It's like when he moved back from the microphone, his voice got louder. So I had to go backstage to ask him how do you do that trick. And he, you know, he knows he's a great guitar player, but he seems to really underestimate how great a singer he is. I told him, and he asked me to produce his next record, and I wouldn't be interested in that, but I said, well, you know, I'd write a song or talk to the guys about it. And we wrote him this song, When Love Comes to Town. Again, you know, I just wrote a verse or two after the first meeting, and then I wrote the other three or four verses about an hour before we met him. So it was in the film, you can see the look of shock on my face when he says, how old are you? You know, I told him my age, and he says, you know, they're heavy lyrics, you know. It's like, I didn't realize really what I was writing at the time, but...
The weight of your own words.
It is, that they'd rhyme was the shock. He is an amazing singer, and he really brings this song to life, I think.
Well, it's great, too. One of the first tracks that BB ever recorded in his life down at Sun Studios was When Baby Packs Up and Goes. This was in 1949. So When Love Comes to Town is the whole thing coming full circle again. Let's listen to it. BB King and U2, When Love Comes to Town. I'm Timothy White. We're live from Dublin with all four members of U2 and Dave Fanning from RTE in Dublin. Stick with us. We'll be back for more. Hi, it's Timothy White with all four members of U2 live in Dublin and also with Dave Fanning from RTE in Dublin. He's the leading rock and roll disc jockey here. And Dave, let's talk a bit about where we are.
Yeah, the fact that we are in Dublin on the night before the world premiere of the movie. I mean, being in Dublin, because of the fact that you two have been so successful around the world, you have opened doors for Irish bands. Now, in the last couple of weeks, we've had debut albums from Dublin bands like A House and Something Happens, and bands like, for instance, Hot House Flowers, who are doing extremely well at the moment. Their album's very well received.
Great.
They're playing in America at the moment. They're playing in San Francisco and Los Angeles over the next few days, doing a very good tour over there. So, like, you gave them a leg up at the very beginning with this thing, Mother Records. Now, Mother Records is your own label to help bands start off. So what do you think about the Dublin scene? Now, I know you haven't been here over the last 6 months, but what do you think about it?
We don't really give bands a leg up. I mean, if the bands are any good, they give themselves the leg up. It's just... we just give people a chance to make a record. It's no big deal, really. We just, when we were trying to get a deal, it was very hard for us at the time, and we just made a promise that we would make a label, and we've done it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Larry looks after the label, and we got a guy called Dave Pennyfeather who's into the music, and, you know, hopefully we can promote Irish bands, because Irish bands are as good and better than most, and they're worth putting on record. But that's all. It's not a charity, you know. It's not a,
you know, apart from the roads,
they don't need the
and
charity.
The drains and, you know, like democratic system, you know, we do our best.
Good man, Adam.
I like the single by Something Happens. I think that's a great single.
Beach, the current one is great.
Something I wanted to ask about, the track that you picked for us to go out on, Pride in the Name of Love, the live version from Rattle and Hum. Why in particular that track?
It
ends well.
All's well that ends well, really.
It's good energy.
Well, in the movie, the good guys win in the end, sort of nearly. Nearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys tonight.
Has it really?
Yeah, especially during the commercials as well.
Yeah,
and I hope we can come
them.
Back sometime.
This is the thing about America. You have a lot of commercials, don't you?
Sad but true.
Too many.
You really do.
A lot of mouths to feed. It's a big country.
And a lot of people have acne as well.
Well, I must say, yes.
Hopefully there'll be solutions to some of these things.
What else did the Romans do for us? We wouldn't be here without the Romans.
They gave us good roads to get here.
The Romans
good roads
gave
to go home. Anyhow,
roads.
This is Timothy White with all four members of U2. We've been live on the Westwood One Radio Network, and here comes Pride in the Name of Love.
Vote for the humanity.
This is Timothy White, and we've been live in Dublin with all four members of U2 and Dave Fanning from RTE. A lot of thank yous to our producer here in Dublin, Andy Denmark. At RTE, to Ian Wilson, A. Donald Duell, John Farrell, Kieran Daly. With U2, Paul McGinnis, Ellen Darst, Joel Herlihy, Dennis Sheehan, John Clark, and Anne Louise Kelly. And at Westwood One, Jerry Sherrill, Brian Schiff, Jill Jamison, and our executive producer, Norm Pattis. and of course the guys in the band. And this is on the eve of the world premiere of the film U2 Rattle and Hum. We've been live from Dublin on the Westwood One Radio Network. Thank you.